This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg. He's in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. And we've turned away from the Brexit inability of me to understand all of it, but I'm certain that Joe is telling me they're moving in the right direction, to Ukraine, where nobody believes that it's going in the right direction. Right now, we have headlines that are alarming about Vladimir Putin taking personal charge of the Donbass offensive. I want to go to the EU side of this. In Bloomberg News in these last hours, EU gives companies green light to keep Russian gas flowing. Block says payments can be made in euros or dollars to Moscow. Updated guidance on sanctions compliance sent to governments. Joe, this is exactly the opposite of where I thought the EU was going. They were looking for alternative sources of energy, for moving away from their dependence on Russia that, after all, gave an opening for Russia to launch its predation. Right now, we have this. The guidance offered by the EU does not prevent companies from opening an account at Gazprom Bank and will allow them to purchase gas in accordance with EU sanctions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Therefore, what I take, what, 5, 6, 8, 9 weeks into the war, is that Europe has now decided it can't do without Russian gas, and it's going to pay the Kremlin to prosecute its war. Is that how to read this?
Well, I think the key word in all of this is gas, because we've been talking a lot about this issue of sanctions and European sanctions on Russian energy, but that energy comes in three forms. It has come in the form of coal, oil, and natural gas. And what this story is really doing is reinforcing the idea that gas was going to be the hardest of the three for Europe to live without. So, I mean, for example, if you take Germany, which is Europe's largest economy, they had already decided that they were going to be able to phase out Russian coal quite early. And then they had worked around to a point where they were going to be able to phase out Russian oil potentially by the end of the year. But all along, they've said that the earliest they could plan on phasing out Russian natural gas was going to be, you know, several years down the road. I think 2024 is a number that you often hear. And that is because the dependence on Russian natural gas is so high, not just in Germany, but in a lot of parts of Eastern Europe and also places like Italy. And there are a bunch of complexities involved in finding additional alternative sources of supply. So, for example, Germany is going to have to build two or three liquefied natural gas terminals in order to import from gas that up to now they've been getting direct from pipelines from Russia. That's going to take them several years to do. So I think that this announcement that companies can continue to buy Russian natural gas is a concession to the reality that this is going to be the toughest addiction for Europe to break. And I don't think that they've ever really suggested otherwise. The only question is, are we talking 2 or 3 years or more to try to wean them off of that gas supply?
In the meantime, the war continues. The challenge then is, if Europe didn't prepare for this and is accepting the paradox of paying in euros and dollars for gas that it cannot find elsewhere, it says, and those euros and dollars are used to sustain the war effort, to pay the Russian sovereign debt bonds that are due now and again, and to maintain what little credibility the Kremlin has in the world of oil and gas. That's what we're doing, because there are other customers besides the EU out there. Joe, does this lengthen the war? Does this connect at all to the fighting that we have each day? The reports overnight are not positive. They're not looking for a quick solution to the war.
I mean, it is definitely the case that Vladimir Putin's budget in the Russian government is heavily dependent on these energy exports, because it is the classic way that any regime can try to earn hard currency. And in fact, part of the significance of the EU announcement is that although they said that European companies can continue to pay for the gas in dollars or euros, That seems to suggest that European companies should not pay for gas in rubles, which is something that Putin has been hoping to push them to do as a way to shore up the Russian currency. So I think that that is kind of an important policy decision here. And it's worth pointing out that within European countries and societies and political systems, there is an awareness of the costs in terms of potentially funding or prolonging the Russian war effort associated with these energy purchases that Europe is making. So, I mean, although the government position in a lot of these countries officially is that they are going to continue importing the gas until they can find alternatives, you have a lot of pressure from various political parties, from a lot of commentators in these places, from a lot of leading politicians, from the public and public opinion on those governments to accelerate the phase out. I mean, that is definitely true in Germany, a country where I've been following these debates very closely the past few months. The government's position is that they have no choice but to continue buying Russian natural gas for the next few years at least. But there is a growing and very noisy movement, both at the grassroots and among some leading political figures within the Bundestag, the German parliament, arguing for an immediate gas stop. And so I think that debate is live in a way now that it was not 3 months ago before the invasion started.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London, observing Ukraine war, which is not now the only dominating story in Europe. Inflation and a new name of the problem. Andrew Bailey, the Bank of England governor, is commenting on famine. And when we come back, what famine and how does it connect to the larger story of the global recovery from the pandemic? I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.